there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
All right, let's stuff some stockings, Jay. There's a couple of bereaved widows I need to get to attending to.
Horror for the holidays, stocking stuffer. I'm Jay Logsdon.
I'm Jeff.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about movies that we didn't get to talk about because Fat Boy Summer was going on.
I'm still riding high on my Mountain Dew Whiteout.
I guess, do we want to start with,
Are you obsessed with me, Jay?
Oh, yeah, let's start with Obsession. What a great movie. Holy shit.
We broke our apparently now incredibly valuable one, Wish Willis.
We still have one.
And our wish hasn't come true yet.
The one Wish Willis, I think I bought him for like maybe 10 bucks a pop, and people are asking for the originals. People are asking like hundreds of dollars for them online, and you and I snapped two of them in half as a joke.
Well, you know, you live and you learn, but we'll do it again, I'm sure. But no, I was having a horrific thought the other day, Jay, that my wish to become a billionaire to buy more fans could make me switch places with Elon.
I wish I was... Oh, no. No one wants to wish they were Elon Musk.
No one would wish that specifically. But it could happen. The monkey's paw always curls against you, Jay.
So my first thought after... I actually did... I wrote down my first thought for the two movies I saw during Fat Boy Summer. New movies. We'll also talk about some other stuff got up to during Fat Boy Summer. My first thought after Obsession was, what the fuck?
Yes. A valid thought to have.
Loved it. Thought it was a great movie. But literally, I just went, what the fuck was that? What did I just watch?
Valid reaction to have. Like I said, I am always happy when a movie can surprise you. And some of the shit that happened in that movie was genuinely surprising to me.
One, Andy Richter getting work. That was genuinely surprising to me.
Oh my God, he's still alive?
He's out there. He's out there and he's doing it. Listeners, if you don't know about Obsession, I can't imagine you don't, but it's like the biggest movie in the world right now.
Everybody's totally obsessed with this Obsession thing, Jay.
This loser bear gets a one wish willow and wishes that this girl Nikki loved him more than anyone else on earth.
Ugh.
And because he makes the wish in that way, she becomes obsessed with him.
You see what you these wishes, Jay, these people never structure these wishes at all. It's like, okay, one, do you really love her or do you just want to sleep with her? If you really love her, just be like, I wish she would fall in love with me. You don't have to put more than anyone else in the world or for my entire life.
Or I wish I had the courage. She literally gives him a chance to ask her out and he doesn't have the courage to do it. Just, I wish I had the courage to ask Nikki out.
Yes,
he could change himself.
Yes, I wish I was more confident, would solve all these problems. Or, you know, I wish I was Elon Musk so I could mail my sperm to women, I think, is what he does. I'm not sure.
But yeah, Bear is the biggest villain of 2026. Biggest movie villain of 2026.
Had to specify.
Yeah. And also a total fucking coward.
Isn't that the way all people in these wish movies are? Although, I guess it varies, because some of these things are like, you know, I want a dead loved one back or whatever. I don't know if that's really cowardice or just the inability to move on. But, yeah, he's a pretty contemptible protagonist.
I thought there were some genuinely funny moments in the movie. Not like laugh out loud things, but like the party scene where Nikki like pulls the chair backwards.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was one of those where like I started laughing because I was so like I was so nervous about the situation. I'm like, this is so awkwardly funny.
Oh good. I thought for a second you were gonna say you were laughing like when the nun was moving slowly along the wall and then ran at that lady with the painting.
No, that's that might be the funniest scene in any horror movie ever. But yeah, there were some really like funny moments, but there's also some real creepy moments.
Yes, there's some genuinely creepy shit in this movie for sure.
The weird like motoring around the house like in shadows and stuff. Yes. I'm gonna come out and say it, Jeff. Went and saw Obsession on a Monday, and went and saw it, thought about it like all day. Went to go to bed and like was kind of too freaked out to fall asleep because large sections of the movie evolve around like bedtime. And I was like so genuinely freaked out. I'm like, oh, I haven't been like this freaked out by a horror movie in years. Like, I was really impressed by its ability to do that.
Good. That's good.
And I know it was a jump scare. The car scene.
Oh, yeah.
I was one of those where I'm like, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And like, I know something's going to happen.
You're just waiting for it and waiting for it.
And it just happened in such an abrupt way that I like shot out of my seat.
Mm-hmm. No, I like when movies subvert, because everybody can tell now pretty much, unless you don't watch horror movies, when a jump scare is coming. But when the people vary up the timing on it to do like this movie where it's like, just like bam, out of nowhere, because, you know, the music kind of usually builds up to it and everybody gets ready for it. Yeah, this one comes out of nowhere.
And I think because so much of the movie had been involved with like moving in shadows and like, and you know that Nikki is in the house somewhere, but you don't know where she is. And then she like walks out of a corner or something.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're going to get like, we're going to get this scene where like she's slowly moving closer to the car or something, not for her to just run up with a brick and destroy the girl's face with the brick.
Yes, it's good. I like it. You'll like it. If you didn't get a chance to go to the theater and see it, is it streaming yet?
I think it might be streaming, but I think they announced it was going to streaming and then saw that it was still selling out theaters, so maybe still left it in theaters.
Okay.
So maybe it's both, or it's either both or one or the other.
You know what, Jay? I have a phone. I can research this.
Also, the girl who plays Nikki, Indy Navarine or whatever, fucking great. She's a fucking star now. Like, this movie made her a star.
It will be available at home starting June 30th.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, after this episode comes out. Yes,
so you will be able to go watch it.
But yeah, loved it. Thought it was great. Not my favorite horror movie of the year, but certainly one of the scariest movies I've seen this year.
Indeed.
Anything else you want to say about Obsession?
Just that I'm obsessed with it. No.
I mean, one of my coworkers at Spirit is, I believe she's seen it 4 times.
Oh.
She is, in fact, that's obsessed healthy. With Obsession.
That's healthy amount of times to see this movie, Jay. Definitely don't watch your back around her when you're working this fall.
The other movie I saw, I think you've seen 3 during Fatboy Summer.
Yeah.
I only saw 2. I also saw Backrooms.
Oh, yep, Backrooms. I was not going to go to Backrooms, and then my brother said you should go to Backrooms. So,
my first initial reaction was, "Huh,
yeah, it's one of those for sure.
Like, not bad, not just very weird and very confusing. And there are things that I'm still like, not sure why you did X. I'm not sure why all the stuff with the therapist was." In the movie,
my brother described it as some of that weirdo shit you and Jay watch for the podcast. So I was like, okay, good. I'll go watch that.
I really enjoyed the stuff around Captain Clark and the Captain Clark's Ottoman Empire.
Yes.
Are you a captain or a sultan?
He's a captain of the Janissary Corps, which served the sultans. Jay, come on, get with the metaphor of my Ottomans.
Listeners, if you don't know about the Backrooms, it's about, I don't know, like a weird office space that like is basically unlimited and like hallways don't add up and there's weird monsters.
You want to know basically what it is? It's a creepypasta is what it is.
Yeah, it's a creepypasta. It's a 4chan post or yes. something.
Speaking of which, we need to do some more creepypastas.
We should,
stocking stuffers.
Yeah, fuck it. Drag out the if the initial backrooms post is bad enough, we should do that one.
Yes, yes.
Visually though, I thought it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed with all the stuff they were able to do.
It was well made, and the fact that it humiliated a much more expensive movie the same weekend it came out was just icing on the cake.
when Obsession and the Backrooms were outgating a Star Wars movie.
Yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like me a Star Wars, Jay, but I think all of us, even Star Wars fans, can agree it's past its prime. And to see it get knocked out by two movies that probably, I don't know, what that guy say earlier, cost the same price as a used lawnmower. It was definitely good to see something like that happen, finally. Which, I mean, people are acting like, oh, yeah, this is going to send Hollywood the message. Well, I thought Godzilla Minus One was supposed to send Hollywood the message when they made a blockbuster, hugely successful movie for $10 million with better effects than $300 million Hollywood movies. But they didn't get the message after that either.
They didn't get the message.
Speaking of, have you seen the Minus Zero trailer, Jay?
I've heard it's great. I've not seen it.
Well, at the end, he walks past the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, shit. He's coming to America.
Yes, he's going to get revenge on Matthew Broderick for those two women that he killed in Ireland in that car accident.
I thought Chiwetel Ejiofor was fantastic in the Backrooms.
Yes. Yes.
He was really, really good. I didn't know that the Captain Clark guy was a dude. Like the giant monster Captain Clark guy, that was a guy wearing a costume.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
And I'm like, man, this is a year for like weird CGI to actually
be practical
effects or partially practical mm-hmm. effects.
That's weird.
But yeah, that's like a giant basketballsman or whatever.
Wow. Cool.
So those were my two for new horror movies during Fat Boy Summer. I know you had a third one you wanted to talk about.
Which one was that? I don't remember.
Scary Movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I could talk about Scary Movie. It's been getting a lot of hate. I've been seeing a lot of people not happy with it. But I'm like, do you not remember what the other Scary Movies were? I mean, they're pretty much all this. I think, are people just tired of the parody movie? That could be.
That's the thing. I think that's part of it. You and I were kind of talking about it the other week, and you know, I said to you, I enjoyed Shriek If You Know What I Did last Friday the 13th more than I ever enjoyed a Scary Movie. Mm. And I think it's because Shriek If You Know What I Did last Friday the 13th was like a straight up parody.
Yeah.
While like I felt like the Scary Movies were almost felt like Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, where they started off as parodies of horror movies and then just started moving on to like, we're just gonna make jokes about shit in general. And that's when Treehouse of Horror got bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of that way, but I mean, it's the main plot that it's parodying is the Scream reboot, like the first one.
Yeah, it's set five, yeah.
Yeah, the first one with, what's his name? He's Jack Quaid. Son of Dennis Quaid, in case you didn't know. Yeah, but it's that one that the main thrust is parodying, and it goes through the entire plot of that movie. But it references six. It doesn't reference seven, thank God.
I mean, nothing needs to reference that movie.
Oh, yeah. 6-7, I forgot about that. Shit. Anyway. But though there's a lot of good jokes in it, I thought. There's some heavy Sinners references. There's some good M3gan gag. There's a good Terrifier gag where it's kind of the mall Santa scene from 3, but he's like he gives somebody a set of balls, some other stuff. I mean, they make fun of the fact that they made there's two scary movies they made without the Wayans brothers. They reference that constantly. They called everybody who was in those sellouts, and that was funny. They do a parody of the new Halloweens with the reboot with the fortified house and all that, and her being like a prepper and everything now.
God, that Halloween 2018 had so much promise, and then we got the next two movies.
I know. Speaking of lost opportunities,
I still sit there and I'm like, there are things I remember enjoying about both Kills and Ends, but overall, I'm just like, I'm like, how good was 2018?
They brought back Anthony Anderson. Hilariously, because he never says no to anything, Kevin Hart did not want to come back. And so they had Shaq on his knees play Kevin Hart instead.
Hilarious.
And it was just, it was a good time if you like scary movies. It was pretty much like, the, I mean, the way that all these are when they're made so much later. It's a getting a the band back together movie. It references the old ones. They parody the newest horror movies. Like I said, I thought it was pretty much on par with all the other scary movies, which if you don't like them, you don't like them. So.
When I went and saw Toy Story 5 this past weekend, there were scary movie posters, and I grabbed you one.
Cool. Thank you.
And I thought it was pretty, I was like, that's kind of a good poster. I like that. I'll grab it for you when
like
we're done.
I said, I thought it was pretty good myself. I've always liked scary movie, and I thought that this one did pretty much just as good as the other ones did. And I liked the overall thrust of the story where they were parodying the fact that everybody who's ever watched any horror movie ever knew that Jack Quaid was the killer in 5 from the very beginning. But yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Jeff, I have to ask, out of movies, but there are a couple other horror things I want to talk about. Have you watched Widow's Bay yet?
No, I have not.
I think you'll love it.
Widow's Bay.
It is Parks and Recreation if it took place in like Innsmouth.
Oh, okay.
Or like in Castle Rock or Derry. But it is a like small town mayor and like his couple of like employees on this cursed island where like the fog happens in the first episode.
Okay.
Episode 8 is mostly an extended like slasher villain chase scene. And I was pretty much laughing from start to finish. There's an episode that like goes back in time and like deals with things. Okay. There's an episode about a killer clown. They're like, they are almost parodying like every single horror movie out there. And it is so fucking good. Season 1 just wrapped up, so you can binge all 10 episodes.
Cool.
And I think you'll genuinely love it. Like I said, Parks and Recreation, if it took place in Innsmouth. Like,
no, I'll definitely check
that
out.
It's that good. And Steven Root's in it.
Steven Root? Yep. Fucking Bill Daughtry is up in there?
Yeah, William Delatour Daughtry.
The crazy judge from Justified is up in there?
The Bulldozer.
Yes, the Bulldozer.
The guy in Dodgeball.
Yes, that guy.
Also owned the news station and news radio.
Yep.
All the stuff.
You're hitting all the hits. He was in a show with the Gog, for God's sake.
Love the Gog. But yeah, I
it's Widow's Bay.
Yes, I think you will love Widow. Like I said, 10 episodes. And the head writer, the creator, wrote for Parks and Recreation, so it does have like a lot of that kind of humor.
Cool.
Absolutely worth your time. And you could probably binge it in like in a night or whatever. The episodes are a little more than 30 minutes. But yeah, let me know when you watch it, because I think I genuinely think you'll enjoy it. It was so good. And then other than that, went to Joe Bob at the in Davenport.
You lucky bastard. I was at a wedding.
There was an extended Q&A. I paid for the VIP tickets. There was an extended Q&A at the beginning. And boy, people asked some of the dumbest questions.
You know, Jay, that's almost why I don't like buying VIP passes to things. Because you get to see the cringe on full display. And I don't know if it's worth it.
Like, there were times where just Joe Bob didn't know what to say. It was just like, all right. Like, but they showed Bubba Ho-Tep.
Nice.
I don't think I had seen it since high school. I had actually, I had watched it for like a high school, like we watched it for a club in school, and that was the last time I had seen it. And so I had a great time. I was like, oh yeah, I remember these things.
So did he pause it like he does on the show, or did he watch the whole thing and then talk about it?
So he did a Q&A, and then he basically did like the drive-in breakdown, or the drive-in totals, and then that was the whole then the whole movie aired, and he said he was going to come back, but he didn't.
Ah.
But there were also two other showings that weren't VIP showings.
Ah, okay.
So I believe he was also introducing those showings. So we waited in line for like about an hour and a half afterwards so we could get our picture taken and autographs and stuff. But was well worth the trip. I mean, it's as fun as you've been led to believe going to see Joe Bob and Darcy.
Well, it'll never happen for me, Jay, so I'm glad it got to happen for you.
Yeah, the next time they announce it, it'll just so happen to be your sister's wedding or whatever.
Oh, I can almost guarantee he's going to make a surprise appearance probably here in Des Moines, October 31st for Halloween, and I'm going to be at another fucking wedding.
Or like, watch, like, he'll be in town, and then it'll be like, surprise, your sister's giving birth or something.
Oh,
or...
God. No! Well, I could miss that.
I've had these tickets the whole time.
I don't know. So what?
And then the very next night, the Phantom AD was in Des Moines.
I was going to try to make that, but I'm like, there's going to be no way. I'm going to be at my brother's wedding until 11, and then I got to help tear it down. Not going to get back to the hotel till like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not happening.
It was a good show. It was at The Haunt, which listeners is a... It is the Slaughterhouse Haunted House during October, and then other than the Krampus event for like one weekend in December, it is a haunted house themed bar. They've done plays there, they've done shows there, all sorts of fun stuff. And the Phantom had actually sent out an email in like January or February, basically be like, hey, I'm going to go on tour this summer. Like, do people have places they want me to go? And so I sent an email being like, he's not going to come to Iowa. But I was like, yeah, you know, if you want to come to Iowa, like, I was like, the coolest venue in Iowa is Codfish Hollow in Maquoketa, which is a 3-hour drive, but it's an old abandoned barn that they've turned into a concert venue. It's great. And I was like, you should check out Codfish Hollow. And he's like, well, I was really hoping to do Des Moines. And I was like, well, if you can get in touch with the guys from The Haunt, like, and I sent that, and I never heard anything back. And then he announced his tour dates, and it was literally,
yes,
and it was at The Haunt. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, I don't know that I'm the one who got him at The Haunt, but I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
No, that's cool.
But it was a good, solid show. Had a fun time. He goes where the party takes him, et cetera, so on and so forth.
My friends from my D&D group, Sadie and Greg, were there.
Excellent. It sold out. I believe he said it was the second ever sold out show.
He said he's at 7 now. I saw on his Facebook the other day.
Which that's awesome. Wait, you see a guy who's actually doing it. Like, yeah. I think that's great. But yeah, I was The Haunt is not a very big venue, so I'm like, it was sold out, but there were maybe 50 people.
Yeah. No, I've seen pictures of you there before, and it does not look very big.
But anyway, yeah, really fun time. Had a blast. Put on a really good show, and you know, for old guys like us, he was done by like 8:30, so I was able to go home and get a good night's sleep.
Sick.
But yeah, those were the kind of all the spooky stuff that we got up to during Fat Boy Summer.
Oh, good news for Supernatural fans. If anybody's a fan of that series and didn't like how it ended, well, guess what? They're doing some more. Because turns out Sam and Dean found out how much they missed working together on the last season of The Boys. So I guess something positive came out of the last season of The Boys.
Excellent.
Yes, they've said that they are working with the writers to do a new season of Supernatural or possibly a sequel series.
Fix all the issues people had with those last couple episodes.
Which, I mean, the end was during COVID, so their hands were kind of tied with what they could do. So maybe this will fix things.
And was the writers for The Boys were also the Supernatural writers, or some of them were?
Yeah, some of them carried over.
So it is kind of cool that all those people work together.
No, hopefully it'll be cool.
I know you're a big Supernatural fan. I think I made it about to season 5.
See, that's where the drop off. A lot of people give up in season 5 through 7. I call it the Leviathan era, because that's the new villain after Satan is defeated. But if you make it through there, I mean, come on. Snot is the bad guy for almost 3 seasons, Jay.
Hells yeah.
It's good.
I wish
we should have talked to him while we were there. He wouldn't have appreciated it at all based on how he looked, but I should have talked to him.
My biggest issue with Supernatural, I know I've said it to you off the air. I really loved like the first 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. And then when they started like just being like, oh, all the bad guys are demons, or we're like really leaning into this angel and demon stuff. Mm-hmm. I just kind of went like, but this isn't what I wanted. I liked the creature of the week stuff.
That's why if you make it through past season 7, they do a lot more monster of the week stuff again.
All right.
Which I think helps. It helps it work. They do episodes scattered throughout. It's basically like the like in the first season and second season, the yellow-eyed demon thing is kind of like the overarching plot or whatever.
Yes.
But they still do Monster of the Week. They kind of go back to that format.
Awesome. I might have to give it a try again at some point. But yeah, I've tried a couple times and I'm just like, I can't get through this season.
Yeah. No, honestly, if you just wanted to skip to like 8 and go from there, you probably could just do that.
I might give that a try.
Instead. Do the first time you see Snot show up.
But otherwise, either we just took a break or we're about to take a break. We'll figure out what that means.
Something's happening
For the podcast. But our next episode will be our birthday episode. And we will be talking about Werewolf Santa.
Werewolf Santa, you say?
Yep. Which I've got some stuff to talk about with that. Seeing as I got to talk to Joe Bob about it briefly.
Nice. I'm gonna do a I'll do a cover for that episode since it's a special episode, Jay. I'll do Werewolves of Santa, a Warren Zevon cover.
Oh, woo, Werewolves of Santa. But if you want to get in touch with us, talk about any of the movies we talked about, any of the other things we talked about, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at Horror for Holidays. That's Horror the number 4 Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays for all of your audio backup needs. Hit us up on all the podcatchers. Apple's our biggest one. Go there. Give us a 5-star review. Put 0 stars if you could so we know you're a real sicko. I mean, you're a real sicko if you're reviewing and 5-starring a stocking stuffer. I mean, come on. Get a life.
Yeah. These are the worst episodes. Or the best episodes.
I mean,
we've heard both.
I was going to say, I hear from a disturbingly large amount of people that they only watch the stocking stuffers, Jay. Well, listen, I guess.
Hilarious.
Yes. And I was like, wow. I think that would break Jay's heart. But yeah. Hit us up on there with any, I mean, you know the email. You know we're part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Those guys let us hang around over there. Even though we're constantly causing them problems, like we continue to repeat that Matthew Broderick killed 2 women on a roadway in Ireland and got away with it.
And we also talk about Jerry D letting us blood beat all over his podcast.
Oh my God, yes. Speaking of a liability lawsuit waiting to happen, we blood beat off all over Jerry D's podcast, Jay.
But otherwise, like I said, we'll either see you next week or in 2 weeks where we'll talk about Werewolf Santa.
I think after this episode, we will see you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
I think that's how it's going to work because we're doing our 4th of July episode will be next week and then a stocking stuffer and then we're taking the week off.
This stocking stuffer, the one we're doing right
now.
Yes,
this one. Yes.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we'll take a week off and then it'll be Werewolf Santa.
Yes. So after this stocking stuffer, there'll be a 2-week gap and then Werewolf Santa. I think.
Or something like that.
Or maybe just a 1-week gap.
I think a 1-week gap.
There's got to be some time where we're not around, okay? But let me do this to help tide you over. I take off your bra.
And then after Werewolf Santa, we'll be gearing up for the Spooktacular pretty soon. Yeah. It's right around the corner.
It's right. You know, Jay, things after Christmas in July and we do our podcast birthday, the rest of the year just seems to fly by anymore.
Yeah, we've already got stuff's already filling up for episodes in August and September. We've got some stuff lined up, and it'll be an exciting time.
Indeed.
Otherwise, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
No, or we'll see you in a week, I think.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
There's going to be some time off.
Your bra's taken off. Yes. Goodbye.